Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Steve Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, we'll be discussing the magic of metaphysics with our very special guest, Grace Hensley. Now, before we get started, I'd like to welcome my co-host, Maureen. How are you this evening?
I'm very good. Thank you, Steve. And how are you in England?
I'm very well. It's late, but it's been a wonderful day, and I'm very excited about this.
You sound like you're right next to me in my home talking. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Magic of technology.
Magic of everything. Yes. So you want me to explain? Let me explain, Lucy.
Yeah, okay. Tell us about your work.
Okay. More. Yes, I am an intuitive consultant, an empath, a tarot. I'm very well versed in tarot. Tarot is my main tool. And I work with everybody here at PsychicAccess.com. And I always say this, Dan, but really comes down to this. I do what I must do, and it's my work. And I love it, and it can be difficult, but I truly, authentically am all there for it. So
wonderful. Well, thank you, Maureen. It's great to have you with us, as always. You'll really enjoy this show with Grace. She knows so much about tarot and astrology and all forms of metaphysics. She's absolutely fascinating. So feel free to chip in. I'm sure you'll be really engaged in the discussion.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay. Well, Brenda, how are you this evening?
I'm doing really well, and I envy you being in England. It's just, I imagine it's beautiful there, and I love things of history myself. So
yeah, I'm in North Wales. It's very countrified, very green, and it's wonderful to spend time with family and catch up with old friends. And yeah, my sister got married in a church that was built in 1100 and something.
Oh, that is so fabulous. Yeah, that is really fabulous. Well, I'm excited about your show because all that metaphysical stuff is right up my alley for years and years and years. And I love the tarot and the magic and even kind of bordering on the kind of occult stuff that, you know, the old school stuff from the 70s is going to be interesting, I think.
It's going to be a really good show. I've got huge admiration for Grace.
And I know she's been around. She's been around. She's put her time in. She's been through. She's pre the new age.
She's amazing. She really is. Well, Brenda, can you tell us a little about your work?
Well, I am a straightforward tarot reader, crystal ball reader, and I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in times, dates, and places, and I work on PsychicAccess.com with all you lovely people.
We do. We have a lot of fun. Well, thank you, Brenda, and enjoy the show. It's going to be great.
Okay, it is.
Thank you. And Bobby, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you over there across the pond?
Very well. Flying home on Sunday and excited to come back to the States.
You know, I flew over there. I had a television show that's over there, and I flew over there one time when I was headed there, and the plane had to circle around a couple of times, and it looked exactly like the Charles Dickens Little Christmas Village. I loved it. It was perfect.
Where did you visit?
I flew right into London.
Okay.
So yeah. Specifically King's Cross and just up from that area there, and it was just one. I just love London. Love it.
It's wonderful. Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm coming back over in June. I'm going to go to London and spend some time there.
When are we leaving exactly? In June, did you say? So let me just go to London with Steve. There it is. Okay, good. Got it.
Welcome. We'll go to King's Cross. Okay. Well, Bobby, can you tell us about your work?
Yes, psychic medium. Which means I focus on vibrations and energies of people who are still here, living, stuck points, helping you out, to discover also answers inside yourself, and then mediumship, which is bringing through loved ones who have crossed over as well, which is funny. We rarely get that, don't we, on this show. It seems like there's a lot of people, which rightfully so, there's a lot of people that ask about their lives and things like that, but I can't remember when we've asked, you know, somebody's their aunt or grandma or somebody like that to come through on the show.
We have done, we've done a little bit of mediumship, but mostly, I think we did have a show on mediumship a while ago, and we should have a couple of shows on mediumship.
Although we did one for Thanksgiving, didn't we? We were going to bring people through and loved ones and things like that. I think we were going to, but anyway, so I also am looking forward to the show tonight. It should be enlightening.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm going to start introducing Grace. Now, Grace began her spiritual studies in 1972. She's got amazing qualifications and credentials, too much for me to list at the, as an introduction, but I know that her early training was with the Church of Light in Los Angeles, and that was mostly, I believe, astrology and tarot. She's also studied with the Foundation of Scientific Spiritual Understanding, on psychic development, astrology again, healing, builders of the Adytum in Los Angeles, Kabbalah and Tarot, and a number of very well-known other organizations. She's absolutely incredible, and she's been teaching for a long time. And Grace, it's I'm really excited about the show. It's so wonderful to have you with us, Grace.
Why, thank you. It's a delight to be here.
Wonderful. It's great to have you here, Grace.
Can you hear me?
Now, Grace, I'm really amazed by your work, and you know, I've been trying to study astrology a lot in the last year or so. How did you first become interested in astrology?
Well, that would be back when I was in the eighth grade. Our science book, the chapter on astronomy, the very last paragraph said, "Astrology, however, is nothing but mere superstition." Now, by that time, of course, I knew that grown-ups usually lie if they have any opportunity. And I thought, so there's something to it, and they don't want us to know. But then it was, 20 years before I actually came across any information.
That's wonderful. And most people don't seem to realize that modern psychology was founded on the back of astrology.
Absolutely.
People seem surprised
weather forecasting was originally done. In fact, until just recently, until World War II, weather forecasting was done astrologically. And the earliest records, astronomical records in Mesopotamia are recordings of where the planets were and the weather and what kinds of things were happening in the kingdom, so that the next time the planets were in those places, when the king said, "What should I expect?" then the wise men would be able to look these up and say, "Oh, this planet is in this place again, this planet is in that place again, therefore you should expect da-da-da-da-da-da-da."
It's fascinating. I find it absolutely incredible how the positioning of the planets can provide so much information about an individual and also about the events that and the energies that that occur in our lifetimes. How did you become a professional astrologer, Grace?
I had, as I said, it was a couple of decades before I actually encountered any information. And I'd started off interested in tarot, and I was changing planes in some airport and reading a magazine, and there was an ad for a deck and a book, and I said, I could do that, and I sent off, sent them a check, they sent me a deck and a book, and I taught myself tarot, and then there was another ad for a book on astrology, and I said, "Wow, yeah, I could do that," and I sent them a check, and they sent me a book. And I couldn't make heads or tails of the book, of the techniques. So, that book was written for people who have no physical or geometric sense whatsoever. Just some very do-it-by-rote things to do to get approximate planet positions. And my first real job had been calculating rocket trajectories for the Navy's navigational satellite group up at Point Magoo back in the early 60s. And, you know, orbit theory was part of what I worked with. And so I basically, you know, I knew orbit theory, but what was in that book I couldn't figure out. So I threw the book on the floor and said, okay, spirit guides, if you want me to learn this stuff, send me a real-life astrologer to teach me. And so I was signing my kid up for after-school activities a few days later at the community center, and there was an announcement for an astrology class. Oh, sign me up. Stop twisting my arm. Yes, yes, I'll take the class. And it was one of the ladies who had trained at Church of Light, and she was teaching this class here in my neighborhood. And so I took the class, and at the end of the beginning class, I was the only student who wanted to go on and continue studying. So she said, well, I can't, they won't pay me to come down here and teach a class for one student, so why don't you go up to Church of Light and start taking classes, and take some classes with them up there in Los Angeles. They were in Los Angeles at that time. And so I did that, and until I got tired of fighting the traffic, because I was living down in the South Bay. And then I found that a lady who had been trained by them was in my neighborhood teaching astrology and healing out of her home. So I signed up with her and studied with her. That was Foundation for Scientific Spiritual Understanding. And then I started teaching how to calculate. Back in those days, we didn't have it on the computer, of course. We had to do it with logarithms. And so I was teaching for her, her incoming students, until she had to retire because of her husband's health and move him to the desert. So when she moved away, then I looked around for some way to teach on my own, and started doing that, and started consulting. So that would have been about 1975, 76, 77, well, about 77 for sure.
So that's incredible, Grace. It's an amazing story. I know you mentioned tarot, Grace, and I'm always so fascinated to learn as much as I can about how the different metaphysical systems or tools are correlated. So the correlation, for example, between the major arcana in tarot and the planets. Can you help us to understand how astrology works, and perhaps also how it is interwoven with other metaphysical systems?
Well, there's been a number of people far more brilliant than I who have tried to put together correspondences between astrology, the planets and the signs, tarot, the major arcana cards, the minor arcana cards, the Kabbalah with the Tree of Life and the paths that connect to the different energy centers on the Tree of Life, and the numerology, and several other related, otherwise independent systems. And I just never did find anything that any set of correspondences that that I could use in my practice. For instance, while I was studying with the builders of the Adytum, they were very much into the correspondences between the signs and the planets of astrology with cards in the tarot deck. And so when I had an astrology client, I would you'll notice which planets were most activated at that time in their horoscopes, their natal planets, or the transiting planets, and so on and so forth. And then I would do a tarot reading for them, just as a little freebie, just for my own research, and look to see if I saw any of these correlations and correspondences. And now I have to say, this was not a rigorous scientific investigation whatsoever, but I didn't find anything that made me feel like I could, in good conscience, teach that to my students.
So in effect, when you give a reading, an astrological reading, and then give a tarot reading at the same time, you weren't necessarily seeing the cards that corresponded with the activated planets coming up in that spread.
Right. According to the correspondences that had been developed by these other schools.
Okay. Right. Uh-huh. Well, Grace, can you tell us more about astrology? How does astrology work?
Now, that's the $64 million question, or more. when I was growing up, one of the television programs was the $64,000 question. And things have, we've had a lot of inflation since then. Who knows? As far as I'm aware, no one knows how it works. The planets are out there in the sky, and people are here on the Earth doing this, that, and the other, having these personality characteristics and so on and so forth. And they correlate. You say, well, if the planets were in these positions when the person was born, then they're going to have this group of personality traits. But do I think there's any mysterious rays from the planets bombarding us? No. Probably not. It's very synchronistic. Things that happen at the same time and seem to be related to something similar in an acausal relationship. Carl Jung, Swiss psychiatrist, gave us that term, synchronistic, where things happen, but there's no causal relationship that can be determined. They just seem to be related, meaningfully related, and happening at the same time. Very mysterious.
But does it imply that there is some sense behind it, even though we don't necessarily have an explanation for it?
Oh, definitely. It's stuff that we haven't been able to put into words, we haven't been able to formulate into. I wouldn't say we haven't been able to formulate into rigid scientific experiments. The Gauquelins, a French couple who were statisticians, astrology had been brought to their attention, and so they set out to disprove it, to prove that there's nothing to it. And so they took the birth information for thousands of famous Europeans by different categories. Athletes was one category. Another category was politicians. Another category was scholars of various sorts, artists of various, artists, and so on and so forth. And to their amazement, they found that the planetary influences predicted by astrology were certainly, surprisingly to them, present in these people's natal horoscopes. Mars, which is the planet of war and competition in general, and physical energy and so on, was highly present either on the ascendant or close to the midheaven, which is what you would expect, what an astrologer would expect for an athlete. They found very high statistical correlations for those, for the athletes, for the statesmen, for the various other different professions that they looked into.
Can you help us to understand, Grace, the meaning or the significance of the ascendant, the descendant, the midheaven, and the IC?
That's easy. That's when you're born directly to the east. There is some sign of the zodiac that's coming up over the horizon. That's your rising sign. It's rising in the east. It's ascending. It's your ascendant. And that exact degree of that sign, degree and minute, and second of that sign, at the instant that you were born, that, as I said, that's your ascendant, and that tells how you seem to other people when other people meet you. The midheaven is that point which was directly overhead when you were born. Now, Steve, where were you born?
I was born in Chester, England.
England. Okay, now, the zodiac, of course, wraps basically around the equator. We have the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn. And the path of the sun in the course of the year moves as far north as the Tropic of Cancer, and in the winter as far south as the Tropic of Capricorn. Now, of course, this is, summer and winter are relative to the northern hemisphere. Now, at no time does the sun actually come to shine down directly onto England, as lovely a country as it is, and I would love to visit.
I've noticed, Grace, that it's never sunny. This is why I went to the States. My parents were waxing lyrical about how wonderful England is, and I said it would be even better if the sun occasionally shone. So you've explained why that is.
Well, that's because the sun never goes farther north in our skies than 23 and a fraction degrees. It never goes farther south than 23 and a fraction degrees south latitude. So since the now there is a point in the sky when you're born in wherever you were born in England, it's directly overhead. And if you drop a perpendicular from that point south, you're born in the northern hemisphere, drop it south to the zodiac, to the equator where the zodiac is wrapping around, that will fall into a particular degree of a particular sign. And that's called your midheaven, the sign and the degree on your midheaven. The point that's opposite to that is when we were kids, we used to talk about straight through to China, meaning just exactly on the opposite side of the earth. That's the, it's written on the charts as the IC, and that's what you have seen, or the nadir, imam sili, the lower heaven, what was overhead directly on the other side of the earth. But the part that was overhead directly overhead when you were born, the midheaven, medium sili is the Latin word. That tells something about your purpose in life. Why are you here? Do you know what I don't have your horoscope in front of me. Do you remember what sign is on your midheaven, Steve?
My midheaven is Gemini, and then I have Saturn in Cancer in the 10th house.
Mm-hmm. Gemini on the midheaven says your purpose in life is about communication. My goodness, do you have a radio show?
My work is all about communication. And actually, when I was in the corporate world, I was in corporate finance, and I ended up in responsible for communication and wondered how that happened. And I'm a linguist.
Yes. Yes. All of these communication skills. Yes. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. If you have ever wondered, am I doing what I'm supposed to be? You're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. This is what you came here for.
Excellent. And what about the descendant, Grace? Is that somehow connected to energy we require or we gravitate towards?
Not energy qua energy. The way astrology works is that the planets are the sources of energy. Wherever you have planets in your horoscope, that shows you have that particular type of energy associated with that particular planet. Then we look to see what sign is it in. Signs are attitudes. You mentioned having Saturn in Cancer in the 10th house. We can talk about that as a combination there of energy, attitude, and activity. Saturn is a particular type of energy. Saturn is using the law of cause and effect. What you reap is based on what you sowed. You're not going to reap it if you didn't sow it. Cancer is concerned about safety and wanting to... it's concerned with survival and feelings and connectedness. Family is very important. Saturn in Cancer indicates a person who is very much concerned about keeping a life profile which is going to assure them the safety to get through, to survive, to be safe, to not feel threatened. Okay, now that area up around the midheaven is the house of career, reputation, status, standing in the community, and that's what you do, what you've been doing for a career, which is in the corporate world, which was to create the spaces where people were able to find a level of safety and security for finance, with their finances and so on.
It's fascinating, isn't it? And how about
okay,
the descendant?
Now the descendant. Okay, so the other major point we hadn't talked about was the descendant. Now, at the instant that you were born, on the eastern horizon was your ascendant, your ascending sign, and directly opposite in the west, the sign that's setting is your descendant. And that basically tells how do things seem, how do other people seem to you. Did you tell me what your ascending sign is?
My ascendant, my son's Capricorn, my ascendant is Virgo, and descendant is Pisces.
Ascendant is Pisces, right. Okay, so Pisces is directly opposite Virgo. So with Pisces on the descendant, you are able to look at other people and see the connections between the emotional connections between these people and the other people in their lives. Steve, have you been told you're psychic?
Oh, occasionally.
Okay, that's funny.
So there is a connection. Yes. Is there a linguistic connection between the word Pisces and the word psychic?
Now, Pisces is related to is the old Latin word for fish. And actually, I don't know what the derivation of the word psychic is. Well, you're the linguist. You tell us.
The I don't know, to be honest. It's something I'd have to research. I'm very interested in words and the connections between words, and I often just think of the word Pisces and think of the similarity just in the way it's spelt with the word psychic, and think,
right.
Oh,
well,
there must be some connection.
But the word is Pisces.
Pisces.
Pisces. The Spanish word for fisherman is pescadora. Pescadoro. Mm-hmm. And there's probably a similar word in Latin or Italian, which I don't know because I don't know those languages.
In French, it's poisson.
Ah, yes. Fish, poisson. Mm-hmm, yes. On the French menu, yes.
Yeah.
My French is limited to medieval French cookbooks and modern French fashion magazines, and I can't pronounce any of it.
It's a beautiful language.
It.
It's a wonderful language. I had the great pleasure of living out there for a while. I wanted to ask you, Grace, how can we explain physical characteristics and the view that certain signs of the zodiac correlate with certain physical characteristics in a person?
Now, are we talking about the sun sign, or are we talking about the ascending sign? A person's appearance, how they seem to other people, how they come across to other people, is governed by the sign on the ascendant. So,
okay.
For instance, someone meeting you, and I'm hoping that, you know, someday, eventually, I will get to meet you in person, would think, now here's a person, here's a fellow who is very sensitive and very practical and is not afraid to get life under his fingernails, so to speak. So that's some of the characteristics of the Virgo ascendant.
That's true of me. Do you believe, Grace, that we, as you explained, that the movement of the planets is cyclical, and that astrologers in the past would explain to a king, for example, or a queen, what would occur when there were different aspects, etc. Does that mean that we're stuck repeating the same patterns or events over and over in life?
Oh, not at all. We have the same types of events happening, but we're not stuck in them happening exactly the same way. When was the first time you rode a bicycle?
Oh, gosh, when I was probably 3 or 4, I should think.
Okay, and did you fall off?
Yes.
Okay,
I had a very bad mountain biking accident as well when I was 20-something and fell off. That's when I had a near-death experience.
Ooh. On another occasion, did you ride the bicycle and not fall off?
Absolutely.
Yes. So you learned by experience. There might be a harsh aspect between Mercury, which governs the nerves, and Mars, which governs the muscles, so that the first time you rode the bicycle, you had trouble getting those nerves and muscles to work together and fell off. But with work, and where there's harsh aspects, there's the challenge to do the work, to get to be, you know, to overcome the difficulty and get to be good at the activity, whatever the activity might be, like riding a bicycle.
Can you tell us, Grace, about Pluto square Pluto as an aspect?
Pluto?
And the energy of the planet Pluto.
You're the second person in 2 days that's asked me about Pluto. Pluto is the Pluton is the one of the names for the god of the underworld, and he was regarded in ancient times as being in charge of wealth, because wealth mainly came from, you know, once we learned how to farm, from your crops and livestock grazing on the surface of the earth, taking the vegetation of various sorts that the earth had produced for us, and that becoming your wealth. Or digging down into the earth and finding gold, silver, copper and tin. And, of course, if you can find copper and tin, then you can alloy them together and get bronze. And then civilization takes a big jump forward. Or you can find you know, diamonds and emeralds and rubies and sapphires and topazes and quartzes and, you know, all kinds of gemstones, which people think are pretty, and we'll trade you, you know, a sack of grain for that pretty rock. So, so Pluto had been regarded as the keeper of the wealth, and now when people die, Pluto was regarded as having a great underground palace. Where souls of people, when they died, went, and Pluto sort of warehoused them. Hades was his Greek name, sort of warehoused them. And now the Greeks did some speculation, but they didn't do too much speculation about what eventually happened to those souls. Some Greeks thought that those souls came back around again, were reborn, in a possibly in a more purified form. Now the Hindus carried that to, you know, a very exact science with their investigations and speculations and investigations, and they, you know, developed the understanding of reincarnation and karmic cycles and things like that. Anyhow, so back to the planet Pluto in the sky. At this time, spending time in the underworld in Hades' palace is a transformational experience. You were dead, you undergo something or another, and then you come back again, a new child, a new baby. And, you know, seriously transformed from whatever you had been previously, but with some remaining characteristics. Anyhow, Pluto has been research that we've done since Pluto was discovered in 1930. You know, tracking his orbit back through time to well, where was Pluto when this happened? Where was Pluto when that happened? Where was Pluto when, you know? Here's something interesting that happened. Where were the different planets, and was Pluto involved? Astrologers have, you know, since the 1930s, have done this research and found that wherever Pluto is moving in the sky, you can look for some transformational experiences of one sort or another happening.
Wow. It's fascinating.
So Pluto is in the sign of Capricorn at this time. Last time I checked my ephemeris, he was about 8 degrees of Capricorn. You mentioned that you were born with the sun in Capricorn.
Yes, in the fourth house.
And where, what degree of Capricorn?
I think at 13 degrees.
13?
No, 9 degrees. Yeah, 13 degrees.
13? 9 or 13?
I would have to check, Grace. I'll check during the commercial break, actually, if that's okay, because I want to. I'm fascinated by what you're saying, Grace. We'll take a very short commercial break, if that's okay, and we'll come right back to this after the commercial break. And during that break, I will check my natal chart.
Very good.
Okay. Thank you.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
Well, Grace, welcome back. It's wonderful to continue the discussion. I've checked my chart while we were in the commercial break, and my sun is 7 degrees Capricorn and 23 minutes.
Oh, you have been undergoing amazing transformations in the past several couple of years, haven't you? Your life is not the least bit like it was before... a couple of years ago, right?
No, it's changed a lot in wonderful ways, but in some tough ways. Some of it's been tough, but overall, as I look back, it's been wonderful change.
Yes. Usually, when it's time for transformation, when Pluto is making one of several specific angles, so many degrees, to planets in your horoscope, that planet, first of all, says, eek. I don't want to transform. You're going to have to drag me kicking and screaming. So at first it seems really terrible, but once you get to the other side, you say, wow, my life is so much better now. It hurt like hell. We've got got thousands and thousands and thousands of years of that expression because, you know, that's what it felt like and that's what it hurt like to undergo a transformation. Some people have learned that... transformational experiences can be freeing for them and can move them into new spaces and new ways of looking at the world and so on that would never have crossed their mind previously. So they're all enthusiastic about transformation. Most of us, however, have to be dragged kicking and screaming through transformation. No, no, hell, I won't go. Oh, I hope that you're not going to have to bleep out anything I said.
Oh, not at all. No, no. No. Okay. I want to ask you about weather forecasting as well, Grace. You mentioned the weather at the beginning of the show, and I wanted to ask you about how weather astrologers still use astrology for weather forecasting, and also you'd mentioned omens in a previous discussion you and I had.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The science of astrometeorology, Chris Brandt-Risky, who is the executive director of the American Federation of Astrologers, has a book out by that title, Astrometeorology, and it's about how to forecast the weather using astrology. Carolyn Egan, another astrometeorologist, has a fascinating website, weathersage.com. I've been using their materials for forecasting the weather here in Southern California, where I live, where I make my home, for years. It occurred to me that this is an area of astrology that was not taught to me when I was first learning, and that it was, you know, an entire whole area that I hadn't looked into. So I delved into it and I was very pleased with the work that I was doing, and so were some of my clients. Now, about omens, as I mentioned back in Mesopotamian times, the wise men, the magi, were collecting the circumstances, the omens, and the circumstances under which events occurred in the mundane world, in the everyday world. Astrometeorology, weather forecasting, is under that category of mundane astrology. Mundane astrology is the astrology of nations, cities, and corporations. When a nation is founded, a chart, a horoscope, can be cast, or that is to say, calculated, for that exact time and wherever it was that the main event happened. For instance, the horoscope for William the Conqueror defeating the English at Hastings in 1066 and claiming the island for his own kingdom, because he was only a duke at best. There's a chart for that, and that's, you know, a very important chart in English history, you know, astrology of England.
We did win many other battles, Grace, with the French. We lost that one, but we won many others. I was laughing in the bookstore in the UK a couple of days ago. There's a book called, and I love France and French people, I have family there, but there's a book out called A Thousand Years of Annoying the French.
Cities, when cities are established, when cities are chartered, you can cast a horoscope for the date that the city was chartered. Whenever people move into a new territory where there's never been a city before and establish a city, then you can be really clear about when did that actually happen. On the other hand, there are many, many, many cities, especially world capitals, which if you, you know, dig down into the ground under the city, you find layer after layer after layer after layer down to the Stone Age of people having lived there. So then you scratch your head and you say, well, when was this city first established? 15,000 years ago. Who knows? So you can't really, you know, do a horoscope for, well, maybe it was established around 15,000 years ago. Doesn't work. Astrology is much more specific than that. Corporations, when corporations are incorporated, then that you can cast a horoscope for the date and the state capital for the incorporation, you know, for the start of the corporation. I have several corporate clients. I have a catering company. I have a vocalist. I have a motorcycle rebuilder. And several others. And the techniques of mundane astrology are covered in an English astrology book by Bajant, Campion, and Harvey entitled Mundane Astrology. And I use what I learned from that book to help my clients figure out what they should do with their businesses, when to move forward, when to be more conservative, and so on.
It's incredible how many uses there are for astrology. Didn't the classical era healers use astrology, Grace?
Pardon?
Didn't the classical era healers use astrology as well?
I have several books that were written in the classical era. A fascinating book is entitled Four Books, Tetrabiblos, by Claudius Ptolemy, who was the head of the library at Alexandria in the 2nd century A.D. I have another one written in rhyme by a Latin astrologer named Manilius. And as more and more of them are being translated into modern English, I'm buying them and reading them and studying the techniques that they use. But for instance, the technique for determining what sort of spouse should this person look for is right there in the horoscope, and Ptolemy wrote it up in chapter 6 or 8, I can't remember the chapter number, of book 4 of Tetrabiblos. And that information has been available all this time, and people have been falling in love and falling in love with the wrong person and or marrying the wrong person all this time. But if they'd gone to an astrologer, the astrologer would have said, well, you're born with the sun in an earth sign. You should look for someone, you should look for a spouse with the moon in an earth sign, and so on.
So you can actually see how compatible two people would be from their natal charts.
Absolutely.
It's exciting, isn't it? So I could just go on Facebook, Grace, and say what I'm looking for.
Yes. Right.
I might do it. I might do that.
Do you have your horoscope in front of you?
I do, actually, yes.
Okay, so we know that you have Virgo rising. Virgo is one of the earth signs. And you have sun in Capricorn, and Capricorn is one of the earth signs. What sign is your moon in?
My moon is in Aquarius.
That's an air sign. So ideally, your spouse, the love of your life, would have the sun in an air sign, and the moon and their ascendant in an earth sign, so that the two of you would be would seem to be very compatible. One of the problems that the two of you would have, however, would be that earth and air are not compatible elements.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So if you had given me the birth information of someone that you were thinking about, is this a person I would like to spend the rest of my life with? It's those sun, moon, ascendant ties that make for long-lasting, strong marriages where the couple will stay together through thick and thin. So I would look for someone who has the moon in an earth sign, and several other planets in earth signs, and something in an air sign, but not overwhelming, so that the two of you would be able to work out differences constructively.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Grace, I've got so many more questions I could ask you. Well, we've come to the end of this part of the show, so we're going to have you back, Grace.
Oh, certainly.
Another time.
This is working out all right for on Thursdays. I'm the shop reader in a metaphysical bookstore here in Southern California, and the owner is just tickled pink and purple that I'm being interviewed on a national radio show.
It's wonderful, Grace. Well, we're so happy to have you on the show. You've got amazing knowledge, and I just can't imagine how much we can learn from you in future. So we'll definitely have you back on the show, Grace. Now, Grace, before we wrap up, I want to ask you quickly, how can people find out more about your work? How can people contact you?
I have a brand new webmaster who is, even as we speak, putting together a website for me. My previous website got hacked and I lost it. So one of these days soon.
Okay, great. Well, Grace, you'll have a guest page on the Psychic Access Talk Radio website, and when you have that website live, we'll be able to put a link to or put the information of your website on there, so our guests will always be able to track you down. I want to thank you so much for joining us, Grace. You're absolutely fascinating.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Grace. What an incredible lady and an amazing
yes.
show. That's one I'll be listening back to, especially because it says who Grace has told me who to look for.
Yeah, she's got it going on. She's from the time period where before computer, you know, you did it, everything real, everything was really raw and deep getting into this chart. And that's really how you get all the, and it was a great guest, Steve.
There's just so many layers of it, you know.
Yes.
We didn't even get to talk about palmistry, and I know that was part of the thing that was in there too. So
and tarot, yeah, not well, yeah,
tarot,
and numerology,
and like Kabbalah,
yeah, all of it, and it, like we talked about, I think it was last week, was when we had it all kind of everything kind of gets comes in together, all the universal science. I mean, it's amazing.
I love talking with somebody who lives it. You know, like she is it. She's not just regurgitating information that she's learned over the years. She
mm-hmm.
is it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's so absorbed into her, she can't help but exude it when she talks. I love that.
It is. That's refreshing and that's wisdom for you. Knowledge and wisdom.
She's amazing. She has so much knowledge of tarot and Kabbalah, and it's just unbelievable. You could literally interview Grace for days and days, and still. Be learning after a week.
No, definitely, especially the Kabbalah and the Tarot.
Yeah, we'll have to have her back. Well, that was a wonderful interview. I want to just let all of our guests know that Grace's contact information is on our guests page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com, and we will add her website to that page as well. I'd like to make a few announcements before we continue with the rest of the show. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of the show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. And we'll announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper on the ready. If you were unable to catch our show last week on the ancient power of the birthday, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives to all of our previous shows, including today's, on psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Just look for the archives tab. And please do feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. We really want to connect with as many people as possible, so do share that information. Remember as well to visit our website, psychicbloggers.com, to learn all about metaphysics and spiritual work. You can read about reincarnation, psychic development, all manner of incredible subjects. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find that our verified psychics with their unique gifts each have a detailed profile, so you can review who's there and choose the psychic that you feel most drawn to. And all of our co-hosts here on Psychic Access Talk Radio also are available on Psychic Access. So if you'd like a reading from one of us, please do be feel free to visit us. We'd love to hear from you. I want to quickly thank Doug as well behind the scenes. He's working hard to keep us on track and to manage everything technically. And he has very high standards for each of us at Psychic Access. Does a wonderful job. Now, if any of you have a website, you can earn 50 cents a minute on readings referred through to Psychic Access from traffic coming from your website. And if you'd like more information about that offer, please do visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And remember that if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us. They can come to the chat room. They can listen on live. You can forward them links to the archives and to future shows for the psychic viewpoint. There's something for everybody. So please do spread the word. We really appreciate you listening and you sharing our show with others. Now, the call-in number for readings towards the end of the show is 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851. Okay, now we're at that part of the show where the co-hosts get to talk about the amazing subject we've been hearing about from Grace. And I want to start by asking you, Maureen, to help us understand why metaphysics is so important.
Okay, I'm not on mute. Okay. Well, you know, I was an adult reentry at Cal State Long Beach when I was in my 30s, and I was a philosophy major. I majored in philosophy, and it was interesting because, first of all, why it's so important, everybody's like, metaphysics, the word, the study is like is of the true nature of reality. So I don't know if a lot of people know this, but it's actually the foundation of all other philosophical studies. And I'm not doing just because I'm meditating.
Plato.
Aristotle. There it comes back to me. I was an adult. He was the one that actually brought it into the whole situation. So the fact of it is, so, and also way back before him, it's even, you know, it's talked about that. It was always going on. But still, metaphysics is very important. And so, like I said, it's the first known philosopher, anyway, according to Aristotle, were these two other people. But everything in philosophy, and a lot of people, like I said, are not aware of it, that they don't think of the metaphysics, but foremost, metaphysics is the main foundation for philosophy. Now, I can't get all into that, but for any person out there that doesn't even know what I'm talking about, philosophy or no philosophy, first of all, the universal science of first philosophy treats of being, just a state of being. So, and we all can relate to that. But the thing of it is, metaphysical ideas, because they're not based on direct experience with material reality, they're kind of often in conflict with the modern sciences. So the scientific revolution's coming into the picture and blah, blah, blah. But I found out recently, which is fascinating, that the Vatican, and this was just last year, March 2011, that the Vatican has had even put something out saying that, hey, you know, the Vatican, Roman Catholic, whatever, they came out saying that the study of metaphysics, Vatican affirms the importance of metaphysics. And it was an article, and I think that's pretty, kind of says it all. Anybody who wants to have, you know, the study of, or think about who we are, what we came from, and everything else, to understand metaphysics will form a foundation for everything else and our beliefs. I don't use that word a lot, but it's understanding who we are, why we are here, and the true nature of our reality and the people, places, and things. So it makes you think and feel and how you want to behave. So I think it's important for anybody, even if that word is weird. Some people have asked me, what is metaphysics? What is metaphysical? And so I had a business, well, it was called the Academy of Metaphysical Arts. So it's very close to my heart, that metaphysics of different tools of understanding.
Doesn't it mean beyond the physical, metaphysics?
Well, the interesting part about this is that the thing of it is, how it was taught, in fact, because I remember this, is the issues are considered, it's almost like in a way, it's like physical science, there's mathematics, but really, when it comes down to it, it's like there's my aunt. I'm really gonna get dead in the show. It is entirely physical in nature, but I could get too much involved with this. But what it is I guess what I'm trying to say is it's the most important thing to begin with. So if you go in philosophy and the scientifics, it's like this is where, you know, Socrates came into the picture, also, and. It goes beyond our limited human reason. So he termed the orderly power in the universe God. Now, I'm not going into religion for everybody. So the ideas are based not directly on experience again, material reality. It's you know, I don't want to get too informed, but it goes on enlightenment and the scientific revolution. Do you follow me, anybody? I hope so.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. It's fascinating.
We're there with you, Maureen.
Oh, yeah, you're following me because I
we
know.
We got it.
Okay, Lucy.
Hey, Lucy.
Lucy, what you doing now?
Who is Lucy?
Oh, I know. I was thinking about Steve.
Lucy, I'm
Ricky,
home.
Ricky, yeah, Lucy, I'm home. You know, I love Lucy. Okay, oh, Steve, we'll have to educate you later.
She's a Leo.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but.
No, Lucy's from the 50s. Okay, everybody, let's give Steve a hand for that one.
Yay! You okay. Have to explain to me another time.
I'll call you for a couple hours and explain it. 1945 is all Star Trek. Okay. So there you have it. The end.
Well, next. Thank you, Maureen. No, that was very, very interesting. Now, Brenda, you mentioned palmistry, and we were going to talk about palmistry as well as many other things with Grace, but we just ran out of time. And I want to ask you, to tell us a little about palmistry and maybe to explain if the lines of the palm change as we progress through life.
You know, I've been reading palms for a long time, since I was about 14, and it's fascinating. It's just too bad. Well, I guess we could. It was possible if we could see our clients, we could see their palms. But the palmistry is, you know, you have the left hand and the right hand. The right hand is the hand of what's happening now, and the left hand is the, you know, the intuitive hand, and that's the hand of what will be. And so you'll have your basic lines, like your lifeline and your headline and your heart line and all these basic lines, but then you will see as you get older that more and more lines form, and there'll always be more lines on the left hand than there will be on the right hand. Now, people are probably checking their hands now and looking and stuff.
I am looking at mine. I'm still wondering about Lucy, but I'm looking at the lines on my palms.
And you know, it's interesting. There are two schools of palmistry. There's one that studies just, you know, the lines and stuff like that. And then there's a school of palmistry which is tied into astrology that puts all the mounds and the sections of the fingers and the fingers themselves are going to be associated with planets and signs, astrological signs. And that's kind of an old, really old way of reading. I think it probably goes back to the ancient Egyptians, because it was very popular with the gypsies.
Mm-hmm. Palmistry. Yeah, and I read as well that the tarot was a depiction of the Book of Thoth, and it was that depiction and the form of the tarot deck was given to the gypsies because they roam and the information would be safe.
It went throughout Europe that way, but it originated as 22 stone tablets, and they were carved stone tablets. They were, you know, ancient. It's ancient knowledge. That's why if you look at the tarot, if you study the tarot in, you know, any depth, there's always going to be that base of Egyptian spirituality, symbolism in it, you know.
We should do a show at some point about Egypt, the pyramids, and the Sphinx, because I read as well that the Sphinx correlates with the major arcana.
It sure does, and you know what? It's coming next week.
It's next week?
Yes.
Is that your show next week?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us more now, Brenda, because I'm excited.
Well, we have a very well-known Egyptologist that's going to be, and his form of Egypt, he studies a lot of esoteric meanings of the Sphinx and the pyramids, and he's going to be talking about all that, the symbolism behind them, the age of the Sphinx, and the pyramids, and everything. It's going to be pretty interesting.
Wow. Our shows are amazing.
They are.
Well, Bobby.
Yes.
What is the connection between metaphysics and the toilet plunger?
Talking about having to bleep things out of the show.
Goldfinger toilet plunger. You mean?
I could relate the two.
Oh my God, was that a Freudian slip?
I could totally relate the two if you needed me to. I'm sure
you could work your way
through.
I'm just joking with you. I want to ask you, Bobby, how do you integrate metaphysics into your work?
A lot like I think, like Maureen was talking about. You know, I love, and my passion is the coaching aspect, not. You know, I enjoy answering questions and you know, giving answers from beyond, but there's nothing like quite like the excitement and the passion of when somebody gets it, you know, when somebody has a particular insight and you kind of guide them to that, and you help start them on the path to their own discovery. And you know, I started years ago with Zen and Buddhism and such, and have just, you know, you get to that point to realize, again, there is something more than just beyond what it is that we're looking at, and then it just becomes that faith. And I remember having faith in something beyond me much more so than all of my friends who went to church and tried to believe in a God. Why did I always believe in God? You know, I wasn't a church-going person necessarily, but I just always knew that there was something else besides us. And then you get into the law of attraction, where reality isn't, you know, like we the things it is that we see here now aren't it. It's the spiritual vibration, that reality living there, and creating the manifestation. So we're so used to looking at things that we see, judging that, opinionizing about it, and then that's, unfortunately, sometimes it'll create more of it depending on what you're looking at, especially if you don't like what you're looking at. And so if we can get beyond that and go more into vibrational first, then physical reality, you know, it's just difficult for a lot of people because that's not how we were raised. It's almost counterintuitive. And so, you know, I always try to work that in. Obviously, the people who call us for answers or the people who do what it is that we do from all scopes, I think, believe in something other than beyond, you know, more than us. There's metaphysical in everything it is that we do.
I was doing some research a while ago on precognition, and it was a couple of years ago. My little nephew was with me, and I wanted to see how strong his precognitive ability was.
Right.
And so I did a test with the Xena cards, and he got 10 out of 10.
Oh my gosh, right. Really?
Yeah, and I mean, kids are so open to these gifts that we...
From such a young age, because they just take it for granted, don't they? That just is the way it is. They don't know any different until we tell them that there's a difference, or they start to, you know, around 10 or 11, they start to know that there's a difference between something out there and something down here. Otherwise, they're just living it all the time, and they just take it for granted that that's just the way it is, you know. So if parents, I think, could be more supportive in letting them know that there isn't so much of a difference, or continuing to nurture that difference, because it's bound to happen. We get into our human minds. That's why we came down here. But the more that we can nurture them into staying into the metaphysical, I think it's just a brilliant way to go. That's what I'm trying to do with my kids. I'm so excited to wait to see what gifts that they have. You know, my daughter's very telepathic, little things that she says or does. I haven't done the cards with her yet, but she's a thinker too, because she's very smart. So we're trying
kids
to...
Kids are magical.
They are
some
very
of
magical.
Some of the energies of the kids now is just amazing. I've got a little
crazy
niece, and she's 13 months old.
Wow.
And you just look at her, and she just looks at you, and
they just glow, don't they?
She just oozes character and wisdom at that age.
Yeah.
She sort of looks at you as if to say, oh, it's okay. It's just fascinating.
But
I'll tell you a funny story. I was playing a game with my nephew Jacob, and he's got a brilliant sense of humor. He's only 7, but he's hilariously funny. And I play this game with him called Jacob the Prophet, and he has to predict things. He has to answer questions. And so I said to him, for example, now, Jacob, if the world were to end, then how would it happen? And he said, let me think about this question. As he's playing the prophet, and he reflects.
Stroking his chin, there, right?
He sits there smiling, and he said to me, well, everyone in the world would just go and fall over.
See how honest and raw that is? That is so cool.
It's classic.
Yeah.
And he knows he's entertaining you when he says it. He's hilarious.
Cute.
Yeah, the wonderful.
Honest.
Adorable.
Well, Maureen, I need to... I've got another... I haven't got another question for you because I haven't pasted it correctly into my
document.
Yeah,
I know.
So
I saw that.
What was your... What did you want to talk about next?
Well, it was... You posted under Bobby's thing about tarot. Learned from somebody else.
Oh, did you attend...
That was my question, okay?
To learn how to use a toilet plunger, Maureen.
Yeah, toilet plunger and gold. And blessed by the druids, and that would all there would be to take.
With fairy dust, no way. With
fairy dust, yes. And sprinkly sparklies from everywhere else in between. Different planets. Tarot. Okay, yeah. All right. Yes, I'm very passionate about my story with that. And I'm saying it right out front that I don't have any opinion on people that learn otherwise and how I did, but no, I did not learn. I was self-taught from torment in every sense of the way. And actually, it's interesting because I was self-taught with the Aquarian deck because someone gave it to me. It's one of those, collectibles. It's really old.
I love the Aquarian deck. Do you still have it?
Yes. And in fact, later on, what happened from my journey,
Oh my God, you have the Aquarian. Yes, I started on that. That was my first deck, too.
That's interesting. Most people would never start, they would start with the weight deck.
That was my first deck.
And I have many more because I ordered hundreds of them through the U.S. game. Well, because I did an audio instructional course of the booklet, and I market it with tarot cards, which was a mistake, so I have all these packs of tarot cards, but I have some of the original, really old, I have a lot of them, but the old ones, they're different, it's a collectible, whatever. The Aquarian deck was it, and the bottom line is with this, with me, it was not that I was thinking tarot cards of any sort were going to be it. So what happened was, I was going through some intense times, we've heard that stuff in our lives before our journey. And it was interesting because what I found out, my newfound relationship with these tarot cards, someone had given to me, by the way, and they're very old. It was, and because of my state and mentally crazy, emotional self was so intense, it was short of crazy. So the Aquarian deck, I connected with it, but I really did not know how to do such. And so I initially had no interest in learning any meanings of any cards or from books. But I was really unaware at the time the intensity of what was going on in my life, too. So things were, I was all over the place. But I did find, I started picking up the cards, and I found myself, I was going through a lot of pain and just a lot of stuff. I started just staring at them, and then I started to see, things. It was like a 12-step program. I started drawing, and I think I've talked about this before, but anything I could see, colors or anything, then things went by, but then I figured out, it came to me, and I would study for 5 hours at the library. We didn't have computers so much. I didn't. So I found that tarot is really a symbolic record of human experience. Now, I did it a lot, like what you guys are talking about before with the, that goes way back and with the Torah. Yeah, they call it Torah. Okay. It is a record of human experience. I feel that. And because of my personal experience with how it made me feel, all I know is what I know, but it was a part of my human experience. So I would encourage others to study the tarot, to push aside the books. It's good to go to classes and workshops, but to push aside the books and connect with their true authentic self with them. And, open the door into all sorts of hidden things that are inside yourself. And that's how I was self-taught. But I really feel, and I tried to explain this to other people, it's really being able to release the ego and reflect about your past and be okay with it and to open, your future up. And you have to be very humbling and very honest and it's very difficult. So that's how I became, and I feel very strongly about, they're not just how to read a book. There's more. Like I said, it's profound how they all go in the sciences. They all blend. So, can you hear me?
We're just in awe. We know how it goes. You start speaking about it. Start speaking about it. Starts coming out, and then we know you have to wait because it just comes through, doesn't it? So
yes, it does.
We hear you, darling.
You heard me. So false ego is really important. I found that you have to release from false ego, fill in the blanks. So I would suggest to anybody, it's really great to have books and so forth. And not that I didn't look at books, but it's also good to go beyond that.
I think it's true. Because you get caught in that, don't you? You get caught in what the book says.
Too many rules. Too many rules. Too many rules.
And you can't step out of it.
Yeah, I've had someone, rules slap in my hand. I do not get readings from my, whatever. But there's so many rules. And I don't think there's different type of readers. The thing of it is, Brenda, you could appreciate this. The thing of it is, it's what I must do. But the cards are a really great tool for me, and I'm well-versed in them. But I do go off of them. If someone was going, I don't like people going, what's that card saying? It doesn't speak. I just, whatever I'm feeling, and, you know, so I really feel that it's a good thing for anybody listening to do, open yourself up to both ways. You know, if you're just interested in doing this hobby or something, that's fine. But so I've said my
I feel it becomes a way of life, to be honest. Well, you know, you were commenting on the Grace's passion for metaphysics and just the knowledge. You were saying she is it. She, and really, that's what we're all doing, isn't it? That we're living and breathing metaphysics. Okay. And I was, for example, just really observing the owl. And there's an owl in the garden here at my mother's house, and I've listened to it all the time I've been here, and I know it's just giving me messages. And I was looking at the owl medicine, and it's really important. So it becomes a way of life in that you learn to always listen to the animal kingdom, to the signs,
absolutely,
weather,
they all kind of blend in, and that's exactly right. And pay attention. Everybody pay attention to everything. Be the observer of yourself.
The owl is the eagle of the night, the teacher and the eagle of the night. Yeah.
It's really great. Yeah. Okay.
And I even really closely observe current affairs, because it's all, the whole world is the stage, isn't it? All the whole solar system, the whole universe is the stage. But even things like, you know, uprisings in the Middle East, Gaddafi being killed, they're all signs of change, and we have to listen in all ways to the universe.
So many ways. It's different for people because they don't understand that. Like, well, how am I supposed to hear you? I'm listening to you now. But they don't get that listening is sensing, is intuiting, is what you feel, hear, see. It's all listening, isn't it? It's all interpretation. It's all absorbing.
It's hard for them.
It's hard for people sometimes.
It's hard for them to get out of that myopic view.
Yes, conditional.
I think it's hard as well to try to, when we struggle, we'll struggle at some time or another, and we find it hard then to stay focused on the fact that there is. There is a system, there is a cycle, there is a rationale,
picture.
But you almost lose faith in it at times when it's challenging.
Yeah, it can be very much so, but it is what it is. It really comes down to that, you know.
Do we have people on the, do we have phone calls yet?
Yeah, I guess I'm supposed to do something here.
So. Oh, are you? Oh, you might as well work.
we do. Well, I was going to ask Brenda about scrying with a toilet brush, but as we do have people.
Toilet brush or the...
Maybe we can talk about
the plunger. What's all that?
Toilet plunger.
We don't know who started that anyway.
That's okay. We can do scrying another time. It looks like we need to get on to the reading. So
We do. We've got people calling, which is wonderful. And, you know, do carry on calling in. We've got, the number is 724-444-4851. But we will take our first caller. And the first call is for Maureen. And you've got somebody calling from North Carolina.
Yes, hello, North Carolina. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm fine. And who am I speaking to?
My name is Kelly.
Kelly, hi, Kelly. And what can I focus in on for you?
Well, of course, it's going to be about a relationship.
Of course, it's not always a course. Okay, that's okay. Okay, and
because it's been kind of hard for me this week.
Okay, so you're in a relationship. I guess, you know what? It's easier because of our time restraint in the readings here. I want to help you as much as I can. If you could give me like a direct something for me to focus on, like, because I'll be able to help better in the short period of time. Is there a name? Are you in a relationship? Is there a problem? You know, I guess there would be somebody that's causing you grief.
Yes, he's causing me grief. His name's Chris.
Okay.
And so, just want to know if there's a future.
Okay, got it. Well, you know, this is the thing I'm getting. This is what I'm getting, Kelly. I see you as a very, you appear by all appearances, and he sees you. You look like you've really, you look successful. And I'm not saying that in all the materialistic way, but you look like you're a woman who doesn't need a man. You're not looking for a man, not like all women are, but some, to take care of her. So you're very strong, and I see you very strong. I do get that he's had, I'm not clear, but maybe he's been working out some of his fears of inadequacy of sorts, because you are more together, which is really sad in our world because there's the ego stuff. But if he's been giving you trouble, I do see trouble passing by, passing you. It's almost passing. So I feel within the next, I don't know, 7 days, there's a really good sense of timing of regrouping back together. Unless you're seeing somebody else, I want to make that clear. Now, so I'm going on Chris. Chris is who's whom you're speaking of. I do see you getting reconnecting in a very equal, mutually by choice type of way, where it's very comforting. It's very safe. There's not a lot of talking, and it's a really lovely understanding, which doesn't take a lot of talking. But I see a real gentleness about you two when you are doing well together. Have you been together 2 years or more? What's the situation?
No, we've only been together since like September.
October, November, December, January, February. Oh, you're at that little bit 6 month, a little after the 6 month mark. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, and but I always say 1 year, 6 month. You know
mark,
what? There's a new 100%. Agreement. This okay? Because I see you two will thrive. I really, really do. But I think a new agreement will have to be made, which usually is the case when you get to the 6 month, a year mark, because either that you get scared, and if I don't, you're strong enough to handle the situation. Like I said, I think the timing is attainable. It's right close by within the next month. And I see in May, I see you two very connected by choice, equally by choice. It's really positive. In the meantime,
okay,
whatever he's not doing or miscommunicating or detaching, I suggest that you have the strength available to focus on yourself. Let him get through whatever this is. I'm not saying for you to, you know, allow him to be like this or that. I would just let him do his thing. Don't play into his stuff. I see this moving back, actually smoothly back together and really having a new agreement. That's exactly what you need. There's not a completion. There needs to be a completion for you to begin, to have a new beginning. And his personal power will be back intact. Anyway, I hope you followed
that. And you said the whole thing, like the whole gentle and talk, like we don't talk a lot, but there's a gentle understanding between us. You nailed it.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that was perfect.
Yeah, well, you know, but this is your reading. It's, you know, you own this reading. I'm just saying, I do feel that you two will thrive. And just hang in there. Well, just do what you do. You're okay. And I do see you thriving. I really do. I really do. I see him being more at ease, more at peace with him, within himself. It's his own journey, his own lessons. Okay? Thanks,
okay,
Kelly.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Sure. Bye.
Thank you, Kelly. Good luck. And thank you, Maureen. You nailed it, as Kelly said. That's wonderful. So next caller is for Bobby, and you have a caller from Pennsylvania, Bobby. Hopefully they're not going to ask you about a toilet brush.
Let's hope not. I refuse to answer if that's the case. Hello from Pennsylvania. Hello? See, we scared him away. Toilet brush, hang up. Hello, Pennsylvania? Not so much. Connecticut, mm-hmm. Utah, anybody. We'll take anybody.
I heard a flush.
Do we have another caller on the line?
Doug is letting us know right now. Try again. Pennsylvania, are you there?
Hello, Bobby.
Hi, it's too bad. I was really tuned in, and, you know, I'm not now. That's too bad. No, I'm kidding, sweetheart. How are you? Hi. Who's this?
Who do you think it is, Bobby?
What? It's a test, okay. Isn't it?
It's a test.
Yes, of course I know who it is. How have you been?
Yes, good. I'm good. Yes, you know who it is.
Okay.
I went on a job interview yesterday. How was that looking? Is it something I should pursue?
You know, normally I would get a real excited feeling like, ooh, awesome. And this does feel good, but it doesn't feel like it's a complete match. It doesn't feel like you were 100% into it. Does that make sense? Like you weren't.
Yep.
Like you know, when you're in the interview, you're just not 100% there or on, or, you know, it's nothing you did wrong. It's just like your heart wasn't into it really. I don't think I'm getting this psychically. It's just a guess, but were you, was it just one of those jobs that you just had to get? You know what I mean? Like, I'm just here because I need a job type of thing? Or was it something you really wanted?
Well, I was intrigued by it.
Yeah.
But this, I didn't like the fact that if they're supposed to be making so much money, why are they were squandering on advertising? They're
You know, I really think your intuition just kind of came into place. I've done that before myself, where you go into job interviews and it seems or sounds like, of course, on paper, like a real promising prospect, doesn't it? And then you get there and something just doesn't feel right. You know, like they're barking louder than what they really are. So I think your intuition just kicked into gear. That's why I say I don't think it was anything that you did. I think it was just, you know, when it really comes right down to it, if we allow ourselves, we're lived through. In other words, we think that we're in charge of our lives and living our lives, but I believe a bigger part of it, that source that we live through, actually just comes through us. You know what I mean? And I think that you were just kind of being protected in that way, and we're being lived through, and that interview went just like it was supposed to, because I don't think it was necessarily for you. So just being straight up honest.
Everything they were saying is just, but then if I started asking questions and I didn't, it was like the dots weren't connecting.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm feeling. It feels empty to me. It doesn't feel, it just doesn't feel right. So, but that's okay, right? So now we know. We got that out of the way. I see you going on a couple of other job interviews next week. Do you have anything lined up yet? Or are you, do you have anything else in?
I haven't heard back from anything, no.
I see you on a couple next week, though. So I would gear up for those. One of them feels a little bit more like what you could get engaged in, what you could, you know, I want to see, I guess what I want to see, angels and guides, as is kind of coming through me. But I think what they're encouraging is to see more of a passion in the next job that you do. More something that is really engaging to you. And so you might have to hold off until you find something like that. But again, I don't think it's going to be that long. Like I say, two interviews next week, and one of those feels like it could really engage you, really kind of fill you up a little bit more. So I would stick with that. But remember, if you don't have a passion for it, not as bad as today, or yesterday rather, the interview, but if you don't have any kind of a passion for it, it doesn't really tweak you at all, I would skip it. If you can. I understand there's, again, those things where you just have to go out and get a job. But this is, I think it's kind of important for you to really be locked into something with your passion this time. Because that's going to start leading you forward. You need something to be passionate about. You know, you haven't been in a while in that area anyway. You're a very passionate person. But I think that in that particular area, we really need something that grabs you. You see?
Yeah.
It's important for your discovery, for your path from here on out. Because once you get in that stream of passion, that will carry you to the next and the next and the next. Sure. And it's time to grab hold of that now. So this is an important time, and if you can do it, it'll slingshot you forward, and again, it's just what's needed right now. So
I searched jobs, searched jobs, and it's just like they're okay.
Yeah.
Or I don't have the quite requirements that they're looking for. It would be a great job, but because I don't have a bachelor's or something, they're automatically not going to.
But, you know, sweetheart, again, that's okay. Let that be okay right now because you're weeding them out. You know, I know it's kind of a saying that they have among salespersons, you know, every no is a closer to a yes. But it's really kind of true in this case. Every one that you go through that doesn't quite meet your requirements. I know you said that one you didn't meet theirs, or you're over required or whatever. But if they don't meet the requirements we just talked about, then let them just keep coming and going until you find that one. But that one is coming. Like I said, you're not going to have to do that much longer. I'm just kind of explaining what's been happening and what might happen a couple of more times. But it's not going to be much longer before something kind of grabs you and you get a little excited, you know, that like going on a first date type of excitement, you know, that little anxiety that comes in.
I puke on first dates. Don't say that.
Okay. Yeah, probably not a wise idea to puke in front of your you know, prospective employer. That would be bad.
Is this on the internet that I find this, or
I can't tell you, sweets. I'm not seeing it. I just know that it will come to you. But so do all modalities, and then I got to let you go here. But use modalities what you already have, and don't do anything different of looking for a job. So if you've been using the internet, the paper, whatever you've been doing, keep doing that and it will draw for you. But now you have a little bit more, now that we've fine-tuned it, you have a little bit more idea of what it is you're looking for. Do you see what I mean? You're not just looking and just putting away out there. So now you've got a little bit more fine-tuned and keep in mind, and now you know what to look for. You see this job appear for you. Do I get a little excited with that? Do I have a little bit of passion with that? If not, psh, throw it to the side. Do you see? Yeah. Okay, right. Sweets.
Thanks a lot, Bobby.
You're so welcome. Have a great night, okay?
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you, Bobby. Good stuff. Well, Brenda, you have a call from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Pennsylvania. Are you there? Hello?
Nobody from Pennsylvania?
From Pennsylvania.
We'll try for Maureen. Massachusetts.
Hello, Massachusetts.
Yes, hello.
Hi there. Am I speaking to Massachusetts?
You are.
All right. What can I do for you this evening? What do you need?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you. I've called before, and you all were really helpful, so I really appreciate that. And what I'm wondering about is I'm being evicted, which is actually okay. We have another place, but there's a lot of violations where I'm living. But I live in a very small town, and it's a very big landlord. And as much as my ethics would like to say I need to fight this battle, I'm wondering if maybe it's one of those situations where I should do the wrong thing and not fight the battle.
Well, one of the things that I see is that if you continue it, it'll actually cost you money, and it'll cost you a lot of peace of mind. I'm seeing a new beginning, and I'm also seeing some vindication. There is one particular point in regards to finances and monies owed in which you will be vindicated from.
I'm not sure what you mean, vindicated from.
What I mean is that you will win, in other words, one point in regards to finances. I know you're being evicted, but I see something coming your way in regards to money it's owed to you, is what I see.
Oh, okay.
So strangely enough, you are going to get something back, and it won't be right away. It might be, after the fact. I see Wheel of Fortune around you, which means, you're onward and upwards. You got to get out of that energy anyhow. It feels like living there was a struggle from the beginning. You know how sometimes places just have a bad energy and they just don't get any better.
Yeah. So I should just sort of, my main question is, should I take this guy to court? Because somebody else is going to be in here that he's going to rip off again.
If you do that, I feel that it's going to be a long, drawn-out thing. I feel he has a lot of money behind him. I'm also seeing that he has an attorney that's like a shark. And what I'm seeing with that is that it could prevent your next step, or it could delay your next step. I know you're really on the fence with this, but I'm getting that you need to move on.
Okay.
That's what I see. It feels like it's much more a positive direction.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Brenda. Okay, I'm going to announce the call-in number again in just a moment. And I'll also be taking a call from Indiana. And just... do any of you have the telephone number there, actually? Because my document has just closed.
I do.
By accident. Can you shout it out for us, please, Maureen?
Yes, the phone number to call in, please, is 724-444-4851. And now is the time to do it, because we do have lines open, and we want to make sure we get all the calls, because sometimes if you wait a little longer, it won't do it. But there you have it.
Thank you, Maureen. We appreciate that. It's teamwork. Well, we have a caller from Indiana, and I'm going to take this caller. So who do we have calling in from Indiana this evening?
Steve, it's Magdalene.
Magdalene.
Yep, you've heard from me before.
Oh, Magdalene, how are you?
I am good. It's been a while since I've been able to listen to the show.
Oh, great. Well, did you enjoy the discussion with Grace?
I did.
She's fascinating. She really is. Well, how can we help you, Magdalene?
Well, I have a relationship problem. I have four guys on the that I'm dating at the same time, so to speak. I'm just wondering if I'm going to get involved serious with any of them.
The answer I get is yes. I feel that you absolutely will. I'm drawn to the number three, actually. And, I mean, I'm going to give you what I feel intuitively. But obviously, logically, you know, Grace gave some amazing insight about relationships and compatibility. And I feel really that I should remind you and myself, Magdalene, and everyone, that we magnetize relationships, and sometimes we magnetize them subconsciously because we need to learn something or something we still haven't resolved. Mm-hmm. And we're not necessarily magnetizing the right dynamic. And Grace made some wonderful points about using astrology to look at compatibility. So it's really important that you consider how compatible each person is and use your intuition, use what you feel when you're with each person. And really, I would make a list of the different things that you're looking for in a relationship and then sit down and reflect upon each person and consider, well, how compatible do they feel based on that list? But intuitively, I'm drawn to the number three, and I feel that the third person you met is a good match.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. That's what I feel intuitively, Magdalene, but you know, it's important to have a strong connection and strong compatibility. And I am personally an avid believer in metaphysics. And I'm an avid believer in the power of astrology. I've worked with it quite a lot, and I find it mind-blowing. So I really recommend, and my guides are suggesting as well, that you need to look at your natal chart and consider find out what is most compatible for you in terms of the energy of the other person. And be very clear, because it's part of your process of manifestation. You're clear about what you're looking for. But I do feel drawn to number three. Okay?
Okay, thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. Good luck. And take care.
Great. Bye-bye.
Okay, great. Well, we have another caller from Idaho, and this... Tater Totters. Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I'm sorry, Steve. You know, I think it is. We've never saw it. And I'm not being rude. My intentions are good, but I said Tater Totters. I thought it's cool. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. This is Maureen. And who am I speaking to?
This is Peggy, Maureen. How are you?
Peggy. Tater. Well, then I was okay to say that, and I wouldn't offend you. Hi, Peggy. Happy birthday a few days ago.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful week.
It's nice to hear your voice.
I just have a question. I've been very busy working on writing my book. Very involved.
Fantastic. Okay.
I want to see if you can see how it's going. Am I communicating well? And
okay. I got it. I gotcha. Well, you know what? Like I say to people, this is your video, you own it. Well, this is what I'm getting. You definitely are in a good place just prior to, like I put it like in the recent past, prior to the month or weeks, very balanced and with good moderation and being able to blend things. So it's a fantastic time with this book. And I feel that this is something I know that you had mentioned you've been desiring to do, but I feel like the momentum, like I said, in moderation, I feel it's positive, very positive, because you're very balanced and you're able to fuse well with it right now. And also, I don't see you holding on to at the same time, you know, when you're writing a book and having stresses of material things being or things like that, that is no, that is not interfering, I guess is what I'm saying. It's so good. However you got to this place, it doesn't matter. You are at a very good place for you to focus on this book. And I do feel, or I see, a whole new feeling of a new feeling, a sense of a home. And whether it's a new home or redoing or the feeling within a home, have you been sitting out? I don't know how the weather's been, but have you been spending time outside writing of the home?
I haven't, actually. I have been spending a lot of time inside, but I'm just in a new space. I'm in a very centered, grounded...
That's great.
You know, last year was pretty rough on me, and I just took the time to really understand who I was and to kind of get myself put back together. So you're right, I am coming from a much different space. I really
want to. It's fantastic because this book needs to be written. And
yeah.
It's your time now. Isn't that a nice, and I applaud you. Not everybody knows. You've been through a lot in helping. You've always been there with everybody. You know, I want to tell you, I do feel coming up, you know, I could be off of my timing in the next, I don't know, 4 weeks. You could start wavering and thinking, okay, maybe this is not the right choice. I shouldn't be putting all my all into this right now. I get off of that mindset because people could pull, other people are just in your mind thinking, oh, maybe this is I'm dreaming and who am I thinking I am? I can't do this. You can. You need to take rest periods in between though.
Okay.
Because it could be exhausting, but you do have a lot of balance. But you can't, you know, I know sometimes the outside world, I think you just really, you need to keep on being fearless, like be enthusiastic and excited because there's so many new changes and you have, it's like jumping off the cliff and just going for it. But at the same time, you do have the balance, but I think that you might start kind of having a little bit of inner conflict about it. But this is the timing. This is fantastic.
Good.
It's really great to hear, and but take little rest periods. It's very important to clear your mind, 10 minutes or something of quality, something, resting.
Yeah.
It's very important.
I've been trying to just do it at night after I've had some time just to get focused on it, and I just sort of breathe through it, and it's been really freeing, actually. So for whatever reason, it's been very healing to put it into order, I guess. Order.
Yeah, in proper order. And not only that, is you're able to fuse all together, like it probably input, you know, I understand what you're saying. The order of the order of how things are being done before you weren't in there. Now it's like, you're almost like, it's like being able to blend the water into the earth and just to blend. It's like a fine chef being able to put the proper ingredients to make everything just so. That's how I see that you are at that place. However, again, you know, the outside world will get to you. You did not make a bad choice to put your all, and it's okay. But I think that you'll start maybe having those outside worries, you know, anything, or someone saying, be real careful with that. Like I said, it will drain you a little bit, but I see you moving forward. I really do. Absolutely. And if you start seeing yourself go back into something that says, well, you can't do this, well, bring yourself out of that or just meditate. I know meditate, I don't do it, but close your eyes, focus on yourself, and recharge your batteries and get back on it. This is the timing. This is fantastic. I'm really happy to hear this, too.
Awesome. Thank you. I had to make a difficult choice and give up my broker's license in order just to take the time to do this.
Oh, okay.
I thought about it for a couple of days, and I thought, you know, it just feels right, so I did.
Good for you. And, you know, Peggy, I applaud you, because that's a change, and that could be maybe what I'm seeing, that later on you might be, if you start getting indecisive, grab yourself and slap yourself. No, you did not make a bad, you did not make a wrong choice. You did the choice, and that, even saying that, it makes a lot of sense. That is pretty big.
Felt right at the time.
It's still right, but if you start getting indecisive about it in the weeks to come, I encourage you to step away from that, close your eyes, and meditate. No, you did not. You don't need, I'm just trying to eliminate you going a little bit off the deep. You know, just for a moment. You don't need to do that. I'm just trying to avoid that. Because I'm really happy to hear that, and I can see, hear it, I can feel it. It's just fantastic. Good for you. I'm happy for you.
Very good. Thank you. You do such an awesome job. You always nail it with me too, and I am so appreciative of your insight, and you just know me, and it's just awesome. I don't even have to talk.
I adore you, Peggy. You're a really special woman. So I can't wait to hear more about the book. Yeah. So I'll be talking to you maybe about it. Okay, thanks, Peggy. Bye-bye.
I will talk to you soon. Thank you.
Yes, too. I will. Bye, Peggy.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's great, Maureen. Well done. Nailed it again.
I don't nail.
Our spiritual carpenter.
If ever I need a good nailing, I'll contact you.
Please now, do.
Okay, let me see. I'm getting a bit confused about who we've...
You're standing up. So you see, I was standing here in line, and now you're shoving your way up front so that you can do a online reading, a birthday reading.
Oh, I'm doing a birthday reading. Okay, yes. Sorry, I was confused because I saw...
Okay, I thought you were going to do a chart. So I sent you... Okay,
that's fine. No, I can do that.
Yeah, a natal chart. She's got her information, Hobart, Tasmania.
Great. She's 78. In the chat room.
Right, right.
Oh, okay, absolutely. No, I can run her chart. So let's have a look. So her date of birth is April the 14th, 1978. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, I have to put this into my system.
Then if you need the location...
I will in just 1 second. Let's see. Hobart, Tasmania.
Australia, okay. Right.
It's 1:07 a.m. Okay. Let's have a look. The natal chart has so much information. It's just incredible. So I'm going to type in Hobart, Hobart, Tasmania, Australia. Okay, here we go. We've got it. Okay. And what does Gaz... Oh, Gaz just wants a general reading for a birthday. Okay. Well, first thing I would say about Gaz looking at this chart is that Gaz's sun is in Aries, so in essence, at the core, Gaz is a very active, very initiating person because Aries is the first sign of the zodiac, and it's a very, very dynamic, very active energy. And also, this is in a part of the chart that indicates that Gaz is very creative. So I would really encourage Gaz. Somebody's messaging me. Give me 1 second. So I was looking at the chart. Oh, so Maureen, sorry, you're saying that Gaz is confirming this is the case.
What I was just saying, Gaz is, he just wrote in, Gaz is a male. He's a man. I don't know. I was just conveying what he wrote.
Okay,
if,
sorry.
You know what I mean? Okay, that's all right.
No, it's helpful. I was looking at the chart and then noticed there was a message. So Gaz has got a lot of creative ability and a lot of drive as well. And, you know, Gaz's ascendant is Aquarius, so Gaz should have a strong interest in humanitarianism and learning and teaching that sort of stuff. But I know as well that looking at the chart that Gaz is very sensitive and intuitive. I can see from part of the chart that Gaz is really in tune with spirit and does feel things intensely from the spirit world. And that's brilliant when you're creative and doing creative work. The other thing I would say looking at Gaz's chart is that his Mercury is in Aries as well. So he should have a lot of energy for actively communicating and intellectualizing. And that's right next to his sun, actually, in his chart. So it's very much a strong part of who he is. He's got Venus in Taurus, which again indicates artistic ability, and he's got a huge amount of drive, when it comes to working with other people. So I feel that Gaz will combine creativity and artistic ability with a real desire to work with people and to engage with people. He's got a really interesting chart and a really nice blend between the more introverted and the more extroverted elements as well. So sorry, are you asking, somebody's asking me about a progression. Brenda, are you asking me about a progression?
That was just you're doing the natal chart, and I guess maybe he was asking about some progressed stuff, so I don't know.
Okay.
You could look in the overview, I'm sure you could see something.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm looking at his natal chart, and because I always feel that that's the starting point for me, understanding the essence of the person as they came into the world. Mm-hmm. But going on to looking at what the planets are doing right now, looking at this chart, I would say that Gaz has got really good opportunities for transformation in community, because Pluto, as Grace explained, Pluto offers transformation. Pluto's moving through Gaz's 11th house, and that's partly community and engagement with others. So I feel strongly, looking at Gaz's chart and tuning into where the planets are actually positioned or transiting through the chart right now, I would say that Gaz has got a lot of opportunities when it comes to creativity and artistic ability, and that the focus for Gaz should be really putting his energy into his career and reaching out, connecting with people, networking, and using those opportunities in community for transformation and great opportunities. That's what I see. It's difficult when somebody's in chat to get feedback, but that's what I feel for Gaz in terms of his skill set and the talents and energies that he brought with him into the world, and looking at where he's most likely to get good transformation at this point in time. And it's a very positive year ahead. Should be great professional opportunities for Gaz this year. Okay. So that said, have we got another caller? Was that
nope, we're done. I think that's all the time we have
that
for
was,
tonight.
That was good show, Steve.
Very good.
It was
plunger.
Thank you.
Awesome.
It's always fun to talk about all of these fascinating things. I'm very excited about your show next week, Brenda, because that's just the subject I wanted to hear about.
Well, I think it's my show, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it your show, Maureen? Sorry.
I think Brenda was messing with our set.
Am I messing with you? Maybe it's your show. And I'm after. And
you're
I'm
after me. She's coming after me. It's okay.
I don't know. I'm coming and going sometimes.
It's okay, Brenda, because I like that you talked about your show. But the show next week is on. Well, it's actually called Intuitive versus Scientific Medicine, or Intuitive Medicine. And my guest, she came to me. She's very interesting. Her name is Kathleen O'Keefe, and she wrote a book about surviving cancer land and the aspects of healing. It's going to be very interesting, and it's coming from her own personal experience. And she's a lovely woman, and she's Irish. Not that I'm partial, but okay. So anyway, I hope everybody can come to this show. And I don't think this is kind of like the first kind of show we've done in this kind of way, I think.
Is it medical astrology or
no? Nothing like that. No, it's intuitive. It's her own journey about her with the doctors, you know, and they say, and how our intuition can really override and trump it, which I feel is my personal experience. I know I've had,
especially since nobody can afford health insurance.
Yeah, and also you can't rely exactly, and how we can empower. So I feel that it'll be interesting, and even though it's her situation, it's good for the men to hear too. It's not just a ladies' thing, you know, anybody. So, and she's a lovely woman. So I think we'll all really enjoy
Sounds
that.
Awesome.
Yes. So there you have it. Good night.
Very good.
All right.
Good night.
Thank you. We'll
good
look
night.
Forward to it. And then yes, and then good night, everybody. And after the week after will be Egypt. So have a wonderful weekend.
All right.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda,
If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.